Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
McSorley, play action, throws in the end zone, reaching out, got it, touchdown, Penn State! Deshaun Hamilton and the Nittany Lions answer the field goal with a touchdown drive, and it was impressive, going 79 yards. McSorley to Barkley, near corner, he's got it, touchdown, Penn State! They cash in the Marcus Allen fumble recovery, and the Nittany Lions retake the lead. And they've taken out Brandon Bell. Third down and eight, their own 27-yard line. Near hash, Agner back, pressure from Schwann. Steps up, he throws, intercepted Oyuwariye. 20, 15, 10, 5, Amani scores. Touchdown, Penn State, and the defense sets the tone for the second half. Throws down the middle, open, Gesicki, he's got it. Touchdown, Penn State. The throw by Trace McSorley on the money. And Mike Gesicki has been everything that we saw in the preseason. Great to be with everybody today on the show as we roll forward. Sean, I assume you have me there?
Yep, we got you. Yep, hello, sir.
Yeah, there we go. All right. We have all sorts of ways of doing this show. This happens to be one of them. Probably a little clearer doing it this way, correct, my man?
Sounds good. The one way we go for the most effective way. Sometimes it's subject to change day by day, but we're good. Hopefully you're good over there, too.
Oh, yeah. No, we're good here. Good so deal. It's all good. It's very interesting what we're getting in terms of the approach on both sides heading into this game. And look, ultimately the approach in this game will be from the team that wins. So the team that wins this game is going to be the one where people say back, yeah, the guy had the right approach. Now, I'm only going to take this from the point of view of somebody who has been around the block a few times in his life, Sean. So we'll take it from that point of view that I've been around a little bit in my life. Normally when you batten down the hatches, normally, not always, but normally, when you batten down the hatches, it doesn't always work out the way you hope it would. You can make everybody a little bit too tight along the way. I mean, I'm just, you know, and again, I'm not saying Pat Narduzzi is doing the wrong thing. He's doing what he thinks is the right thing for his team. I understand that. He's doing the right thing for what he thinks for this week is the right way to go about business. All right. I got it. But I think, at least approach-wise, James Franklin keeping things as normal gets, I think makes a difference. I think that it gives your players the feeling like, okay, it's an important week, but, you know, it's like an important week like the Ohio State week, and an important week like the Michigan State weeks. Important. But you're not varying your routine. You're not changing things in such a way. And look, believe me, the player's not talking to the media. I don't think there's any skin off their nose. I don't think that's an issue at all. But you can also lock things down to the point where you make things tight. You know who was really great at this, Sean? John Chaney. John Chaney at Temple
you know, was the same all the time. You practice at 5 o'clock in the morning, you got done around 6:30, you got to the game. You made sure you're mentally ready to play the game. You're already prepared for the game, and you played. There's an old story, and we're going to have Rich Scarcella on the show today, Sean. And there's an old story that Rich relates, and it deals with the 78 Sugar Bowl. When you watch Penn State come out, and Joe Paterno guides Penn State into that game, and he came out ultra-hyped. Penn State came out ultra-hyped, and then, of course, Alabama came out. And what does Bear Bryant do? Bear Bryant walks to the center of the field, and he's got his rolled-up program, and we're all good. It's all great. Like it was another day at the Bear Bryant office, and like the others in the 323 games that he won in his career. Well, if you notice, Joe, in the 83 Sugar Bowl, the 86 Orange Bowl, the 87 Fiesta Bowl, and the 95 Rose Bowl, which all essentially were national championship games, and look at his demeanor for each one. They were different than how he was that night in 79 for the 79 Sugar Bowl. You learn from that. It's all part of the learning experience, and you got to do what works for you. I mean, you have to do what works for you, all right? So that's very important. I mean, I've had people come up, let's just take something benign that somebody does. I mean, my job is on Saturday, I'm not playing, I'm not coaching. Now, do I consider it an important game? Yeah. Do I consider it a big game? Sure. Did I do a single thing differently than I did for the Kent State game? No. And the reason is that that's how I always get ready. And it's a formula that has worked, I think, for me. Now, you may be listening and saying, you should try something different. I'll listen to the games. Stop laughing, Kerry.
No. Not for me.
I mean, come on, man. I could tell, you know.
My only beef with that would be that eight-second delay. It's like, man, you're like Kreskin. You're ahead of the TV.
I know. We have that. We're kind of clairvoyant, huh?
Yeah. You got a dollar for every time you heard that, though.
Clairvoyant deal we got going there. Yeah. So, you know, and again, I have nothing to do with the outcome, so zero. So I'm just talking from a personal point of view as to how I approach my job. And I don't do anything different. Penn State played in the Rose Bowl against USC, did nothing different. Penn State played Florida State in the Orange Bowl, nothing different. Ohio State games, Michigan State games. I take the same approach all the time because I think that it's an approach that when I'm done with it, I feel as ready as possible to do the game. Now, again, that's just the broadcaster. It's not somebody with an important job like a player, a quarterback, or a coach. I understand all that. But I'm just saying, you know, I broadcast some big games in my career, NCAA tournament games, NIT championship games, BCS bowl games, things like that. My approach is always the same. All the time. I don't vary it. I don't say, I need to get that last tape and look at it. What the heck with looking at that last tape? That last tape isn't going to show me anything. I don't know. What the heck? When the game starts, you got to react to what's going on. Gee, if I look at that last tape, I can watch that Jordan Whitehead reverse. What the heck do I care? When he runs the reverse, I'll tell you he's running the reverse. All I need to know is that he might do it. Okay? I mean, seriously. How many tapes do you look at, Pitt? No, I looked at one. How many did you look at Kent State? One. Now, for a bowl game, I look at a few more tapes in bowl games. Yeah. You know one? You want to know why? I have extra time. You get a lot more time. You got 3 weeks to a month sometimes. You sit there going, yeah, you know what? Maybe I'll pop in that Georgia LSU game. See what take a quick look at a couple series of that. You do it. It's because you got a month. So you got a month. You might do a little bit more. But he's really locked things down. And that's his choice. And again, the and if Pitt wins, people will say that he took the successful approach. I can understand that. They'd be the winning team. If Penn State wins, they'll say James Franklin took the right approach. Okay, I mean, that's I think that's what it's going to come down to. I mean, there have been weeks where Joe Paterno limited media access. I'm like, okay. So it's just interesting. I mean, it's just different. Different doesn't mean it's wrong. Different doesn't mean it's wrong. And now, is it the approach I'd take? Well, I'm not in his shoes. But just based on how I go about my business. But then again, Kevin always said my heart rate was at 45. Oh, well. Our high school football roundtable is coming up in the next half hour. Can you believe this is the third week of the high school football season?
I shouldn't look past. I shouldn't look past tomorrow night's lineup. I'm looking at next. Holy man, it's week four next week already in the middle of September. Are you kidding me?
No. It's amazing. It's amazing. And the And my brother's going to be on tomorrow, and he corrected me. You're wrong. He says he went 7-2. Now, the fact that we have to now spot him a two-game lead, there's something wrong here. What about a few comments about his segment last week? People seem to like it. So
he was a trip and a half. I thought he was great.
He's a trip and a half, all right. he's smart. He knows sports. Yesterday was Roberto Clemente Day in baseball. I'm going to relate a story about Roberto Clemente a little bit later. Vince Scully is in his last season doing the Dodgers. And everyone has their favorite. Harry Callis is so revered by people. Bob Prince, Chuck Thompson. But there's that old line in the movie The Natural, which was on the other night, where Roy Hobbs looks over at the woman who will eventually be his wife, and it was his girlfriend back when. And he says, you know, when I walk down the street, I want people to look at me and say, there goes Roy Hobbs. The best that ever was. Well, when Vin Scully walks down the street in December and he's officially retired, people are going to look at him and say, you know what? There goes Vin Scully. The best that ever was. High school football roundtable coming up next half hour, then Rich Scarcella. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today. Our high school football announcers in just a few moments. And Rich Scarcella of the Ready Eagle in the next half hour. Looking forward to a big weekend. And I can't believe it's the third weekend of the season in high school football. We'll talk with our guys about that in just a few moments. Time now for This Day in Sports History. In 1965, Burt Campaneris became the first major league player to play all nine positions in one game. Cesar Tovar also did it. We mentioned Stratton did it for Texas the other day. 1973, Hank Aaron hit home run number 709. Now, here's the significance of that. That actually broke the record for most home runs in a single league. Because remember, Babe Ruth hit 708 in the American League and 6 with the Boston Braves in the National League. And his last three were at Forbes Field with a 9-year-old Fran Fischer in attendance with his dad. How about that? 1986, Herschel Walker made his start with the National Football League after leaving the New Jersey Generals of the USFL. Mark McGwire, home run number 62 to break the Roger Maris record that stood for 37 years. He did so on this date in 1998. 2002, first ever regular season game for the Houston Texans. They beat the Dallas Cowboys 19-10. And it was Pete Sampras on this date in 2002, winning his 14th Grand Slam title. He beat Andre Agassi at the U.S. Open at Flushing Meadow. That's this day in sports history. All right. We have a great lineup here. We have Pat O'Brien. We've got Mike Ferlazzo. We've got Brett Michaels. We've got Greg Wetzel. We've got the suit in the fetal position in the corner. Let's go with Pat O'Brien first. Pat in Sealands Grove. Hi, Pat. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Steve. Always appreciate it.
All right. How would you evaluate last week's game with Montoursville? What did you like, and where are the improvements?
Well, I like the fact that they adjusted the defense. Sealands Grove fell behind 14-0 as Bryce Messina had two touchdown passes, one from 59 yards, and then he followed it up another one short of about 14 yards. And, boy, they were Montoursville was slicing and dicing the Sealands Grove defense. It looked like it was going to be a walkaway by Montoursville early on. But they made the adjustments, and we talked about it with the Sealands Grove team, some young guys and experienced guys, a freshman corner. They got some guys up front that haven't played a lot, but they did make the adjustments, held them to just 6 points the rest of the way. They did fall 20-17. They had an opportunity for a 44-yard field goal to try to send it in overtime. It went wide left, so they did end up coming up short 20-17. But also offensively, this is amazing. Offensively, they throw for 389, no turnovers, hold a team to 20 points, and three guys go for 100 yards receiving, and somehow they end up losing 20-17. And a big part of that, Steve, is, as you well know, penalties. 8 penalties, 83 yards, and they all seem to come at just the wrong time, killing drives. But I do like how they did grow up, and they adjusted to things as the game went along on the defensive side.
You make a comeback like that, it shows you something. So in the end, what did the young guys show you, Pat?
Jared Inch ended up going for 150 yards receiving for Sealands Grove. He was kind of the unknown going in, and just making play after play. He had to make a huge play, jump in the middle of a crowd to come down with a big first down to keep a drive alive. So what I did see from the receiving core was just making plays, being playmakers, catching balls in tough situations, taking big hits, but keeping drives alive, and also overcoming that they only rushed for – their leading rusher was actually Logan Livey, but they only rushed for 47 yards and still were able to stay in the game. So I saw a lot on the offensive side in the passing game that were unknowns, guys like Ryan Booker and Cope and Dressler. These guys stepped up, made plays when you needed to, go along with Jared Inch.
Give me a read for this week.
Well, this is a very different feel. Shamokin, Sealands Grove beat Shamokin every time that Eagle 107 is covered, so we're good luck charms that way. 8 straight times they beat them. They've averaged about 39 points a game. They put up 50 a couple times. But talking to Coach Derek Hicks yesterday, this feels very different. The Shamokin team has a lot of speed, smaller in stature, but they use their speed. They've scored 20 against Southern Columbia, 28 in double overtime against Loyal Sox, so they can put up some points. So it's a very different feel than it's been in the past against Shamokin. And Sealands Grove coming off the loss a week ago with only scoring 17. So, you know, this makes it it makes it a little more difficult going into a game like this than maybe in years past. But it'll be their speed offensively and their multiple sets against a defense that continues to grow up as the season goes along. That'll be the big matchup between in this one between Shamokin and Sealands Grove.
That'll be on the road at Shamokin, 7 o'clock on Friday night, tomorrow night. 6 o'clock will be the airtime, and don't forget about the scoreboard after the game as well. Pat, thanks so much.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. We next up, WKOK's showdown. Sealands Grove, excuse me, Shikellamy playing at Central Mountain. They go to Lock Haven, and joining us is Mike Ferlazzo, now becoming the soundtrack of everyone's Shikellamy lives.
That's right. Well, it's interesting that you almost said Sealands Grove, Steve, because that's probably the big concern right now for Shikellamy and the head coaches after the 35-0 rout of Mount Carmel last week is, you know, this is kind of the tweener now. They go to Central Mountain, outside of Lock Haven and Mill Hall. It's their home opener, and it's also the conference opener in the Heartland 1 for both teams, too. But next week, of course, that big game with Sealands Grove kind of looms large on the schedule for both Shikellamy and Sealands Grove. So, you know, that's the one thing is that, you know, keeping the focus on this long road trip out to Central Mountain.
You really want to, especially after that opener, you want to get one in the win column. What did it mean for them to get a check mark there so they could go in with some momentum to Central Mountain?
Well, being out at practice yesterday, I can just tell you it was a whole different field. I mean, obviously they were paying attention to detail the previous week, but, you know, I think Shikellamy and the coaches felt like they had a pretty good team, but, you know, they had to prove it on the field. And last week they proved it. And how? I mean, that was about as perfect of a game as they could play. I mean, you know, Mount Carmel came in off the high of beating Loyal Stock the previous week. This is a traditional rival for Shikellamy. And it was 21-0 Shick, less than 6 minutes into the ball game. They hit a Hail Mary pass at the end of the first half on a 29-yard scoring pass, the only pass that Tate Krankowski threw in the ball game to take a 28-0 lead into halftime. And the defense was dominant once again, forced a couple turnovers, returned one for a score. That's 7 turnovers now they've forced in 2 weeks. So, you know, for Shikellamy, I mean, they were clicking on all cylinders last week, and it certainly felt good. And I think, again, the team kind of now starting to believe a little bit that they can be a very good football team this year.
Defensively, what do you like right now, Mike?
I like the fact that they have a bunch of ball hawks out there. Their front eight is very good. And last week, once again, I know Dominic Parker in the middle. Gabe Tilford, I believe, had 16 tackles in that ball game. And, of course, Tilford was also the main man on the offensive side from that fullback spot. But, you know, their linebackers are very, very active, very athletic, very active. Last week, I thought the defensive line played much better than they did against Montoursville the previous week. And certainly they've got some big play guys back in the secondary. Hunter Dodge is the guy that picked up the fumble, ran 32 yards to the touchdown. We know Tate Krankowski is a good athlete at quarterback, and he had the 2 picks against Mucina in the first half of that Montoursville game. And Pierce White is the guy that came up with an interception, and he did a rip away from one of their receivers for another fumble recovery in that Montoursville game, too. So they got a bunch of ball hawks back there. And, you know, as you know, Steve, you win the turnover battle most weeks, you usually win the football game.
No question. What about the heat quotient? Does Shikellamy have the depth yet that may help them spell a couple guys in this game?
Well, you know, I think they do. They're really kind of running a little bit more base wing T. That's what they did last week. They only threw one pass because that's all they had to. But they got 4 guys going on the ground. Gabe Tilford, obviously, from the fullback spot. It was interesting, Steve, but Joey Folk, their halfback, took the first play from scrimmage and went 70 yards for a touchdown. That's a pretty good start. So on their third play from scrimmage, Gabe Tilford took it from the fullback spot, went 65 yards for a touchdown. So they got those two going early. Lamir Mitchell is really the guy. He's shorter, 5'5", 145. He kind of gets lost in the line of scrimmage, and he is really shifty and flat-out go. So he's kind of the big play threat that can kind of break out at any time as well. And Pearson White, big player on defense, also has some speed on offense, you know, from that halfback position. So they got a lot of guys that they can get the ball to and really spread it around. Up front, I guess, is the one question. I don't know what kind of depth they have along that offensive line in a kind of a heat situation. But, you know, certainly that'll be tested because Central Mountain comes at them probably with one of the biggest lines they're going to see. From an offensive line perspective, they average 254 per man. So that's a big offensive line they're going up against, and you know, certainly heat will play a factor, I think.
7 o'clock tomorrow, 6:30 the airtime on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Mike Ferlazzo, Dick Hort. Mike, thanks so much. Good luck tomorrow night.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, and last but absolutely not least, it's going to be the Lewisburg Green Dragons and the Milton Black Panthers head-to-head tomato bowl. We've got Brett Michaels and Greg Wetzel both in the studio arm wrestling as we speak.
Not that bad.
I'm telling you right now, Wetzel is a five-arm favorite.
I
could take him.
No question, man. He's got the wily veteran experience here. He's taking me out.
Well, Brett is going to have the call on 1380 WMLP, Talk Radio 1380 WMLP, and Greg's going to have the call on 100.9 The Valley for Lewisburg. So let's get to both of you. Brett, let's start with Milton. Yeah, we know Milton has struggled the last couple of years. Are there a couple things that are starting to come together?
I'd like to say yeah. I'll tell you what, because Steve, George Goodwin's such a good guy. Actually, Greg and I were just talking about that previously to going on the air. They have some real solid skill position players. They do have some speed. They're developing a sophomore quarterback by the name of Philip Davis. They're very young and inexperienced, I'd say, up front. The bottom line is, you know, they're consistent with their wing T approach. They will run a traditional wing T that you're going to, you know, as much so as you're going to see in this area. They even like to go power eye, you know, like when things are going well. They're definitely run first. They don't want to put the ball in the air 20, 25 times a game. I would say this past week it was difficult. In the first half, they were able to only accumulate 17 yards of total offense. Warrior Run put the ball up 37 times over the course of the game. So two different perspectives and two different outlooks. I think some of their skill position players have an opportunity to make some plays if they can get the ball in space. Eric Wilt took a kickoff return back 82 yards for a touchdown last week. Warrior Run was one of my sleeper picks coming into this year, not necessarily to do damage at the state level, but, you know, maybe look at a 6-win season and sneak into District 4 AA playoffs, and they didn't disappoint. Milton really had a bend but don't break defensive mindset. They were outgained significantly in terms of yardage, but it was 7-0 at the half, so they were in the mix.
Meanwhile, Central Columbia beat Lewisburg last week 24-17, Greg. How tough a loss was that, and were there a couple of moments where just one execution moment on the plus side means it swings?
Certainly. It was one of the toughest losses I think you'll see a high school team go through, followed by that overtime loss to Hughesville, then to lose in the last 2 seconds to Central Columbia. A tough week for the kids and the coaching staff. They are showing some bright spots. They showed some ability to run the ball, pass the ball when they get protection. The quarterback's been sacked 14 times in 2 games, but when he has the chance to throw, he's 19 for 34 for 313 yards and 3 touchdown passes. So he's showing that ability. I think what's going on in talking with the coach and some of the players, they know that they've made some key mistakes at key times, for instance, penalties. They had a run for about 20 yards the other night, put them in great position in Central Columbia's territory. They have an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. So some undisciplined actions there by the team and in key situations have really hurt them.
Brett, we know the Milton story the last couple of years. We also know success breeds success. Is there, you know, you mentioned good coaching staff. They know what they're doing. How concerned are they that, you know, they need success badly to validate some of this hard work?
Well, I'll tell you, I've been around, obviously coached for 19 years and been around a lot of coaches in a lot of various sports. And I'll tell you, George Goodwin and his staff are some of the most upbeat guys around whom I've ever spent any time. They go into each week, you know, looking at it, hey, we're going to go out, and the objective is to improve. I mean, they're concerned. There are some things I think they're looking to develop. They have a fullback who transferred in from Chambersburg but never played in the backfield, ironically, due to lack of numbers. Abraham Garcia actually was forced into duty at the fullback spot, which, as you know, in the wing T is pretty vital. But discipline, structure, little penalties, you know, like Greg just talked about with Lewisburg. They're in the mix, a 28-13 game against the Warrior Run team that, you know, had outgained them statistically. But Milton gave up 14 penalties for 167 yards. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out. I mean, that's over a field and a half. You know what I mean? It's when your backs are against the wall with dressing 29 kids to begin with due to injuries. Yeah. You know, there's some positives, and they're looking at some kids. They're working hard. And like I said, their defense, who gave up 51 to Selinsgrove in week one, they look like a completely different unit against, albeit probably a slightly lesser talented team in Warrior Run. But those kids were bending but not break, man. They would not give up points. So they're still upbeat. There's a lot to play for. But, man, Lewisburg's going to come in hungry this week, like Greg said, with what they've gone through the last 2 weeks. And then it doesn't get any easier. We got Danville, Southern Columbia, you know, in the upcoming weeks. And I don't even want to look any further ahead than that.
I understand that. What, Greg, what about the fact that it's a tomato bowl game? What's the emotion for this game?
You know, I was listening to your radio show on the way down, and the Lewisburg coach has taken the same approach that you said about Paterno taking. It's a big game for Milton. He knows that, and Milton's going to be emotional, they think. It's any other game to Lewisburg. Take everything's the same this week as it is any other week. They don't want to talk about that. They just want it's the same routine over and over and over again. They don't want to make it special.
Well, it's tomorrow night. And Brett, I mean, Milton, is this their Super Bowl?
It is. There's no question. And again, and I'm sure they're going into this looking at it. You know, Lewisburg's a pretty solid team. But there are a couple times in the last several years, this Tomato Bowl, man, these kids get fired up for this, honestly. And I expect them to come out and play, you know, pretty aggressive football and, you know, see what happens tomorrow night.
Guys, thanks a lot for being in the studio. We appreciate it.
Hey, you bet, Steve. Anytime.
All right, Brett, Greg, so much. Greg's been there every week. We noticed, by the way, Brett, you know, that this is your first check mark on showing. Greg comes in and punches the card every week, man.
I'll tell you, man. I'm the JV team here. I'm the second stringer. You know, Steve can't make it.
There's a big difference. He's still working. I'm not. I'm retired. There's a big difference.
I was heading out of school, jumping in the car, and speeding over here through the traffic. The JV team showed up.
You'd be shocked how that retirement thing allows you to go, yeah, I'll be there at 3:30.
No problem.
I'll be looking forward to it in about 15 years or so.
I hear you, Brettster. Thanks, man.
Okay. Take care.
So that's what we have. Thanks, guys. The Tomato Bowl will be on Friday night, 7 o'clock, 6:30 the airtime on Talk Radio 1380 WMLP, and also at 6:30 airtime on 100.9 The Valley. Shikellamy will be at Central Mountain on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Shikellamy at Central Mountain at 6:30 for an airtime, 7 o'clock the kickoff, and Sealands Grove at Shamokin. And that will be on Eagle 107 at 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock the airtime for that. Rich Scarcella, next half hour, we'll talk Penn State Pitt as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Great to be with you on this Thursday. Don't forget the Penn State Coaches Show featuring James Franklin will be on the air here on News Radio 1070 WKOK at 6:05. Will be Erica Dombach, the women's soccer coach, to lead it off, and then James Franklin after that to talk about Penn State and Pitt. I'm sure they'll find somebody in the crowd to host the show, and that will be coming up from 6:05 to 7 following the Jennifer Wakeman News Hour.
Oh, you got her script.
Okay, did I get it? Okay. Last week, I talk about the fact we're doing the coaches show. Sean says to me, he says, you never mentioned Jen. And, of course, you know, I think the world of Jen.
I know you do.
So I want to make sure I got my golfing compadre in there. Because if I don't, Brad will hunt me down.
I'd be more concerned about her.
I figured I'd start with Brad. and if I survive that, then I go to the more difficult proposition. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's, again, you just take the approach and just, you know, I just think you go about your business knowing it's important. But you don't take it to extremes. But that's me. Again, the coach that wins the game will be the one that people say had the right approach. And, you know, and Pat Narduzzi pointed out today about the attitude they had in Michigan State, Michigan. That to Michigan State, it was a huge deal to beat Michigan. And then Michigan's like, yeah. Well, of course, Michigan State, to its credit, has had a lot of success against Michigan in the last few years. I mean, Michigan State's been the better program. I don't know. I think you can wind yourself into a knot. And, Sean, you know how I get when I wind myself into a knot. I guess you probably don't.
No.
Kevin Herr was always, your heart rate is always 45.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.